Blog Talk Radio.
This is Coach E on Coach Talk, a HME production.
Welcome to tonight's episode. I have to get real used to that. To tonight's episode of Coach Talk, I am your host, Coach E. I am so thankful that we are night number two of our third season, where we are just digging in and pulling out all the information that we need in order to grow and expand our business. But first, before we get into tonight's topic, which is small loans, we're going to talk about small business loans and, you know, all the myths surrounding them. I want to give thanks to my sponsor, Exit Resource Realty, as well as to Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Home Facilities. I want to say thank you so much for being a sponsor and for advertising with Harp Sound Media and Entertainment. Now look, I know we have covered the different ways to fund a business, and tonight I thought we would dig in a little bit more on how to get a small business loan. There's so many myths out here. We hear you don't need to have, you can get a loan without having to use your personal credit. We hear all kinds of stuff. I even want to talk about that tonight, because I think we're saying stuff because we hear a lot of different things out there in the airwaves, and we tend to think everything is true, or we misperceive the information. So tonight we're going to just break it all the way down. Okay. So I hope y'all are ready. If you have any questions or any comments, feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 319-527-6075, or you can post a chat and I'll respond as we go along. Now, let's get the ball rolling. Okay, here we go. The biggest myth that I hear often is, I don't need my personal credit in order to get a small business loan. I have said it on so many of my shows. That is so not true. There's a difference between having to get small business credit. And there are places that you can get small business credit from. When I say small business credit, we're talking about loans, okay? I mean, not loans, we're talking about credit cards. In some cases, lines of credit. But for the most part, we're talking about credit accounts. Right, we're gonna, for the sake of this conversation, we're gonna separate the two. Okay, we're gonna separate credit cards from loans, and we're gonna look at them differently. Okay, so with credit, if you're trying to get credit cards or lines of credit extended to you, then a lot of times you can get those without using your personal credit. Your EIN number is enough to sustain that. So let's kind of break that down, right? So some of the most common ways of building business credit without your, or some of the ways that we get business credit without your social is we can get gas costs for the company. We can get office supply accounts for your company. We can get things like that. Those are things that typically will not require a personal guarantee. Now, when we start talking about loans, we're starting to talk about unsecured money that is given based on your company's ability to repay. But because these loans are normally $50,000, $100,000, $250,000, and so on and so forth, right? A lot of times, and we're not talking about the smaller loans. We're talking about loans that people get for operation purposes, maybe to cover payroll, maybe to go get another building, to buy land or to buy, a building, stuff like that. We're talking about big loans here. Your personal credit will come into play. There's just no way that we can avoid your personal credit not to come into play. Now, I know for a lot of you, you're like, wait a minute, Coachie, wait a minute. That's not what I've been told, and I get that. That's why we're having this conversation. I run into this quite often with a lot of people that I help, and so I don't want you to be confused anymore. Now, there are some merchant cash advance loans that you can get. I did one for a client previously. It was let's just put it this way. That is, to me, payday loans created for small businesses. And I don't like payday loans. And the reason being is that the interest rates are extremely high. The terms are not agreeable for you as a business owner. And so as quickly as you bring money in is as quickly as the money leaves. So I highly recommend if you are finding yourself in need of some capital, merchant loans, I would highly recommend you reconsider, okay? So we're going to stop right here and pause for a commercial break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to start talking about the differences in looking for funding are a startup versus looking for funding when you're already in existence.
Are you ready to make a move and sell your home? Meet your dedicated listing specialist at Exit Resource Realty. Here at Exit, we specialize in getting top dollar for your property. We offer a strategic marketing plan and expert negotiation. Reach out to one of our experts today at 804-509-5999 and allow Exit Resource Realty to get it sold.
I'm Joanna Highskill, President of Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Facilities.
And I'm Tracy Pompey, Vice President. Nursing facility abuse and neglect is a tragic and common issue. Residents do not get proper care and suffer because of it.
If you think a loved one might be suffering from abuse and neglect, you have options. Call us at 804-839-1833 or 804-252-7973 or email jc4nfvictims@gmail.com.
Attention small business owners, boost your brand with me, Coach E, with radio advertising. Reach a wider audience and skyrocket your sales. Affordable packages are tailored just for you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your business. Contact me, Coach E, today at 410-845-1384 and let your business success story unfold on the airwaves. Your success, our priority. Coach E's Radio Ad Space, where businesses thrive.
All right. So before we left to go to commercial break, I did say that when we come back that we're going to cover the difference between getting funding for a startup and getting funding for an already existing business. So again, thank you for tuning in to tonight's episode of Coach Talk. I am your host, Coach E, and we are overcoming every myth that there is surrounded with getting a business loan to grow out your business. Okay, so let's talk about startup funding. A lot of companies do not, a lot of banks kind of steer away from giving a startup company funding. And the reason why they do that is because they have no idea what the track record is going to be. You may have a great product or a great service that you want to bring into the marketplace. But the problem is that the banks don't know how it's going to perform. Now, it might not be the product or service, right, that is the problem. But a lot of times, most businesses fail because of poor management, right? I said it, poor management. So if you're someone that don't really have a history of being a small business owner or entrepreneur, and you're coming out the gate for the first time to start a business, banks are really scared about lending you money. I'm just going to cut clear of chase. They are very scared because they don't know what your production is going to look like. They don't know whether you're going to They don't have any historical facts to look at to see if you're going to progress and move forward, or if you're going to stall in this and have to shut down shop, right? So, you know, banks not in the business to lose money, right? I want you to remember, and I've said this many a times, banks are in the business of being profitable. So if they lend you money, they want to get money back with interest. So they make sure that whomever they can lend to, they will be able to get the money back. So you may be saying, well, Coach, then how do I get a loan in order to be able to start my business? Well, that I want to kind of, before we get into that answer, let me say this. A lot of times you find that small businesses self-fund themselves or they bootstrap. And basically that is they take savings that they have, credit cards that they have, and then the sales that they make, and that's how they start and grow and scale their business. And which is nothing wrong with that, but sometimes you can get stuck in that place because you're kind of working from a survival mentality. And so you have to begin to shift from survival to thriving. You've got to be able to flip. If you're not, then you're not going to even see you'll see the numbers, but you won't see the numbers of your business progressing. And so you will always handle it in a place of survival. That's not what we want to do. But if that's the only way you can get going, by means, get going. But make sure that you stay around other business owners that are not in that survival mode. That means get out there and network, join networking groups. You want to stay educated, learn about financial statements, profit and loss statements. You want to know how to read your financials to see, you know, how your business is doing. Is it healthy? If it's not healthy, you want to understand when it's time to grow and bring somebody in to work with you. You got to know these things, right? You want to not pump all the money out of your business, right? You just don't want to do that. A lot of times what happens is I've seen it, right? And Coach E has done it where I have started a business because you know, that's my only job, right? And so now I need the business to
grow, but he has to also take care of me. And so sometimes when we get into those types of situations with starting businesses, we end up taking so much from the business, because not only are you in survival mode, but your business is also in survival mode. It's trying to survive. It's trying to build on very little resources. You want to be very, very careful and find that that is where you are. Look and see, what other way can you make money? Can you do some gig work? Can you get a part-time job? Can you maybe do something seasonal or temporary? You know, these are things that you're doing only while your business is growing. Don't get stuck there. Don't get stuck there. I've seen people go and get jobs just while they're building, and they get stuck at the other job because it's hard for them to transition from being an employee to a business owner. So that's going to be a whole nother. That's going to be a whole nother episode. We're not going to cross that path tonight. We're talking right now about startup. What happens if I'm a startup and I need to fund my business? And you're seeing that banks kind of stray away from those that are, you know, starting their business. They have no historical records of how their business is going to flow. Well, that's why we have Small Business Administration. That's the SBA, Small Business Administration. They have programs, or they have developed programs to encourage your local banks to lend money. You would have to qualify according to the SBA guidelines. Now, I will say to you, SBA is going to want a personal guarantee. They're going to want to look at you. They're going to want to see, what is your credit like? How do you manage your personal affairs? And that's where we got to stop right here. How do you manage your personal affairs? Your first business is you. Your first business is your home. So if your personal credit is always taking dings, you're not budgeting, you're overspending, you have no savings. These are things that are signs of financial instability. These are signs, I'm going to say it again, of financial instability. When you're borrowing against your next pay, when your credit is in a mess, when you have no savings, when you're not budgeting, when you're spending more than you're bringing in, these are all signs of financial instability. Look. Tonight, I have to share these things because we have to come into an understanding, right? When I first realized that, when I first got an understanding from God that this was instability, I was angry at myself. Number one, at this time, I'm going to be transparent. You know, Coach E, I'm transparent. I'm sitting here in a place of this is what I do for a living, but yet I run into unstable places within my own finances. So I had to take on the mindset that something has to change. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times people think that, well, I can change my situation if I make more money. Well, the answer to that is no, that's not the case. Because, see, if you don't know how to manage what you have now, if you can't learn how to live within the parameters that you have now, getting more is only going to force you to spend more. There are habits and beliefs that have to be dealt with at this time in order for you to get to a stable place financially. So what I had to do, and I encourage you to do, is I had to start sitting down and having some real conversation with myself. I had to come out of that mindset where I'm doing the best that I can with what I have. You can't sit there because that gives you an excuse. It gives you an out to keep doing what you're doing. And so for me, I had to start looking at some things. I had to start looking at, you know, I moved too quickly. So not make emotional decisions. A lot of us make emotional decisions and we say, no, we don't, no, we don't, no, we don't. But we do. We make emotional decisions. It's based on how I feel at that moment is what I'll do. Here's another one. If I can do X, Y, and Z, I can have this. Because X, Y, and Z seems obtainable, I'm going to go ahead and get what I want. But we fail to project what could happen for you not to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And now what you went and got is not an exciting thing for you. It's now a hindrance for you. So there's all kinds of reasons in which we have adapted belief systems that we have adapted that has caused us to be in places of financial instability. Some of it could just be pure trauma response, right? Not now, look, I'm not saying that everybody is dealing with trauma response. We're not going to do that today because some of it, we have just poor behavior. We have poor behavior, poor beliefs. We haven't had anything poured into us outside of we get into some good intellectual conversations with friends, family, maybe Sunday mornings, and that's as far as we've got. But in order for beliefs to change, you have to be impacted by something that will challenge what you believe. If you are not impacted with something that's going to cause your belief to be challenged, then you're going to stay where you are. And here's the thing, you got to be open. I always tell people, if you're not ready, if you're comfortable where you are, then you're not going to move forward. Here's another thing that I found that we use in order to stay in financial and stable places. We use the, I want people to know that I belong here. I'm a boss. You're not a boss if you're going home and don't know if your lights are going to be on. That's not bossing. There is no boss moving in that. We have to reassess, like, does it matter what people think about me? Like, I'm not living for other people. My purpose is beyond other people. God gave me a purpose. Yes, I'm going to work with people, but I should be making sure that he's happy and satisfied and glorified within my life. So we're going to pause here. We're going to put a pin in it right here, and then we're going to come back and we're going to dive into a little bit more about startup companies getting funding, and then we're going to start moving in. Well, I'm already in existence. How can I get a loan? And we're going to talk a little bit more about personal guarantee. So we'll be right back.
I'm Joanna Highskill, President of Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Facilities.
And I'm Tracy Pompey, Vice President. Nursing facility abuse and neglect is a tragic and common issue. Residents do not get proper care and suffer because of it.
If you think a loved one might be suffering from abuse and neglect, you have options. Call us at 804-839-1833 or 804-252-7973 or email jc4nfvictims@gmail.com.
Attention small business owners. Boost your brand with me, Coach E, with radio advertising. Reach a wider audience and skyrocket your sales. Affordable packages are tailored just for you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your business. Contact me, Coach E, today at 410-845-1384 and let your business success story unfold on the airwaves. Your success, our priority. Coach E's Radio Ad Space, where businesses thrive.
Are you ready to make a move and sell your home? Meet your dedicated listing specialist at Exit Resource Realty. Here at Exit, we specialize in getting top dollar for your property. We offer a strategic marketing plan and expert negotiation. Reach out to one of our experts today at 804-509-5999 and allow Exit Resource Realty to get it sold.
I do apologize for that, y'all. I do apologize. I'm just steadily talking and didn't realize my mic was muted. But I wanted to recap. First of all, thank you for joining tonight's episode of Coach Talk, and I'm your host, Coach E. And tonight we're talking about small business loans and personal guarantees and how personal credit does play a effect in you getting a small business loan. And so here's the thing. We talked about SBA, which stands for Small Business Administration. They do offer loans programs, or they encourage local banks and lenders to provide funding, right, for these small, for our small businesses. And remember, the economy is made up majority of small businesses. Majority of businesses are listed as small businesses. So money comes through SBA, and they loan this money out. They guarantee some of these loans, okay? Now here it is. Here's the thing. They're going to look at when you go to get an SBA loan, your first your business is just getting started. Yes, your business plan is important, very important. But here's what else is important. They're going to want to see your tax returns. They want to see how stable your finances are, okay? They're going to want to see your credit report. They're going to want to know, look, is this person someone that's dependable? Do they pay their bills on time? Or, you know, is stewardship something that they understand as they do? So they're going to look for your bank statements. They're going to look for your credit report. They're going to look for your tax returns. Now, it doesn't matter whether they loan you $25,000 or $5.5 million. It doesn't matter. They're going to want to see this information. They're going to want to know that, look, if this business folds, can they pay us back? That's what they want to know, because they're taking a risk on you by loaning you the money to start a business. It's a risk. And as stated, well, we didn't state, so let me state, most businesses fail within the first 5 years. I believe it's 45% of businesses fail in their first 5 years. And when you really break down the statistics of that, man, most of them go out the door on the first year. And then when we move past the 5 year, it's even bigger how many stay around past 10. So what happens is that the SBA and banks, they all know, look, if we fund a startup, there's chances this company is going to fold. And we need to know, I mean, because we're not giving out this kind of money to not get it back. So we need to know that if we're giving out this money, if the company can't sustain it, can at least the owner or one of the members or the managers of that LLC or one of the board members of that incorporation, will they be able to sustain the company and pay whatever debts that company has? Believe it or not, you know, a personal guarantee is basically saying that if the company can't do it, they're coming after you personally. So when you think, do I need good credit to start a business and get a loan? Absolutely. If you're starting to get and you're having to get a loan, you definitely are going to need some fairly decent credit, and you're going to have to show that you are lendable, you know, that you know how to manage money, that you know how to distribute money the way it needs to be distributed, and not just paying bills, but do you have reserves, personal reserves? Reserves are considered savings. Do you have personal reserves? Do you invest? or is all of your money coming in and going right back out in paying stuff or buying stuff? You know, you got to keep that in mind. So let's say that you are listening right now and you're like, Coach E, my credit is messed up, but this business idea, I have to get it launched. I can't sit on it anymore. I have got to get it launched. I talked earlier about bootstrapping. That may be your alternative, but it's not your end result, right? You may have to bootstrap until you're able to show where your business can sustain a loan. And then also give you some time, now that we've talked about all of this, give you some time to kind of get some things in order, right? So it's not the end all strap, but it is at least the beginning to get you going. But always have a clear roadmap of what you got to do. Start budgeting. If you're only making, let's say, $3,000 a month, and your house payment is $1,500, that's half of your money gone to pay where you live. You might have to cut back on some of the other things that you enjoy doing so that you can reallocate that money to paying off debt, reallocate that money to building some personal reserves, reallocating that money putting it into investment. You might want to consider some of that. Now, you might say, Coach E, look, I've been in business here for a solid 6 to 12 months, and I need a business loan. And I'm pretty sure that I don't have to use my credit for that because my business, you said they want to make sure that my business can sustain itself. Oh, goodness, Coach E, my company is making about $10,000 a month. Yes. And so, I mean, yes, we can do some things. And yeah, you can. But now let's talk about, what are you getting the loan for? Are you getting the loan for expansion so that you can hire people to come on board? Are you getting the loan because you need more equipment and supplies? Are you getting the loan because you need a bigger space so that eventually you can hire more people? What are you getting the loan for? And then how much of that $10,000, right? Because we may look at, okay, the gross amount. So that $10,000 is your gross amount that you're making every single month, right? But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want you to think about. $1,000 is left over. How much are you putting over to the side as company reserves? How much are you doing? Are you paying yourself a salary? Are you exceeding 50% of the growth? Are your business expenses exceeding 30% of what's coming in? I mean, you have to start looking at your numbers. What's really happening with that $10,000? And then, you know, how much of it you are having to allocate into making more products? Or how much are you, you know, you're really putting back in to market your business? You know, that, and I want to put a pin there for a second because I run into a lot of small businesses and marketing is actually the last thing they consider. And it's the thing that they put the least amount of money in. Business is to survive. Marketing should be one of the first things you put money in. And it should be one of the things you put the most money into. See, here's the thing. Marketing and advertising allow people to know that you exist. And doing it right will draw them to your business, which means that now you have a steady flow of clientele that is coming into your operation, which means that your odds of staying open past 5 and 10 years are greater than someone who says that I don't have money to put in marketing, and they put everything, all of their money into everything else. Unfortunately, that's a recipe for them that are they're going to struggle to stay around. They're not going to enjoy being a small business. They're not going to enjoy being an entrepreneur because marketing is essential. It's essential. It's an essential expense. Outside of the business insurance that you should have, outside of your taxes that you have, marketing is essential. So if you have an opportunity to work from home or to get an off or to get a space, my suggestion to you is if it's going to cut into that marketing budget, stay home. There are a lot of co-work spaces out here. There's a lot of spaces out here that you can rent desks and you can do it by the hour or per day or per week. I suggest something like that. That way it gives you an opportunity to get out of the house. It gives you an opportunity to be around other people and network. And it keeps you connected to what's going on outside of your four walls. But I would personally grow that business out before I start putting all of these other expenses on me. Because if you cannot have a marketing budget, if you are not marketing and advertising that company, who's going to know about you? There's nothing wrong with word of mouth. A lot of businesses grow from word of mouth. But after a while, you're going to have to do something. Either you're going to have to multiply the amount of people that are using word of mouth marketing for you, which are considered employees, independent contractors, depending on how you want to hire them and what type of business you have. You're going to have to put money somewhere. Because even to hire independent contractors that are helping to spread the word about your business, you're going to have to invest into trainings and all kinds of stuff. So either way you look at it, you're going to have to invest in getting the money out. It's just how do you plan to do it? So let's kind of go back. So you've been in business, and let's say your net every month is $10,000, okay? Wonderful. Now, well, banks are going to look at your growth, okay? Let's just be clear. They're going to look at your growth. I have you look at your net because your net is really what's really left over when everything shakes out. That's what's really left over. So if you only have $100 net when everything is said and done, I wouldn't be looking for a loan. I would be looking to see, am I overspending in any area? Am I reaching the maximum amount of people that I can reach with the resources that I have? Is there anything that I can reallocate? I would start there before I would go looking for a loan. Because if you only have $100 left out of that $10,000, then chances are you really don't have any strong reserves, number one. Number two, if you had a rough month in business, then you're not going to be able to pay that loan back. And so we have to move from our feelings of I want, and start using some other, we have to start using wisdom and facts, right? Historical facts and wisdom in order to make decisions when it comes to not just our own personal, but our business finances. So let's move on. So let's say you know, at the end of the day, you know, Coach, I have well more than $100 netted after expenses, and I know that banks are going to look at my growth. And I'm using $10,000, you all. If I'm doing that because it's just an easy number to use. I want you all to understand that you really, $10,000 is wonderful. It's a great starting place, but you really want to grow your business even beyond that, okay? So let's look at this $10,000. You're saying, okay, I've been in business now, Coach E, for about 6 to 12 months. There are some lenders out here that will work with you. You do not have to have 2 years worth of returns, but you've got to be very careful because you're still considered an at-risk type of loan. So you're probably not going to get all of the bells and the whistles that you would if you had 1 to 2 years of tax returns under your belt. Please be aware of that. because people will tell you, hey, I can get you financed. You make 10 grand a month, you make 20 grand a month, you make 30 grand a month, you know, but you have no track history. In other words, you have no tax returns to support that. So the banks really don't know, because they're still sitting on, yes, I see bank statements, but we don't know what she or he is really doing at the end of the 12 months with tax. So keep in mind, you're still considered a res. So you really, if you're an existing business, you really want to get at least 1 to 2 years under your belt, where not only are you showing bank statements, but you're also showing tax returns to say, look, I'm a solid business. I am here and our desire is to stay. And I have been able to sustain, not just off of what my sales, but I had to, even if you had to put infuse just a little bit of your own personal cash in there, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is you were able to sustain and grow a business. And so now you are looking more favorable to the banks and the lenders because you appear to know what you are doing. You're not a novice at this. Now you're looking like, wait a minute, now this is a boss that I'm talking to. So I want to see what I can do. But see, here's the thing. They may decide based on your business to give you the money, but they're going to still want that personal guarantee. They're going to still want that personal guarantee. They're not going to work around that. That personal guarantee, as I said before, it is a guarantee that if that business, for whatever reason, hits a rough patch, that they can come after someone, that they can collect that money. So no matter what, even though you're providing the business tax returns, even though you're providing the business bank statements, you're still going to have to provide your personal tax returns. You're still going to have to show your personal credit, and you're still going to have to show your personal bank statement. So I guess what I'm saying tonight is if you're trying to run into your business and hide behind your business's income and credit, and thinking that your credit and your personal financial perspective is not going to come into play, that is not accurate. It will come into play at some point during the journey. So what I'm saying to you tonight, we need to start addressing our personal credit. We no longer want to be financial unstable. As business owners, we no longer want to liquidate everything that comes in our business. I mean, everything just goes out of the business. Just everything just goes out of the business account. That's just what it does. We don't want it to be that way anymore. We want to be savvy in our personal finances, and we want to be savvy in our business and in our business finances. So I'm going to pause right here, and we're going to take a commercial break.
Attention small business owners, boost your brand with me, Coach E, with radio advertising. Reach a wider audience and skyrocket your sales. Affordable packages are tailored just for you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your business. Contact me, Coach E, today at 410-845-1384 and let your business success story unfold on the airwaves. Your success, our priority. Coach E's Radio Ad Space, where businesses thrive.
Are you ready to make a move and sell your home? Meet your dedicated listing specialist at Exit Resource Realty. Here at Exit, we specialize in getting top dollar for your property. We offer a strategic marketing plan and expert negotiation. Reach out to one of our experts today at 804-509-5999 and allow Exit Resource Realty to get it sold.
I'm Joanna Highskill, President of Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Facilities.
And I'm Tracy Pompey, Vice President. Nursing facility abuse and neglect is a tragic and common issue. residents do not get proper care and suffer because of it.
If you think a loved one might be suffering from abuse and neglect, you have options. Call us at 804-839-1833 or 804-252-7973 or email jc4nfvictims@gmail.com.
All right, everyone, and welcome back to tonight's episode of Coach Talk. I am your host, Coach E, and this is a Harpsdale Media Entertainment production. Look, okay, we are talking about, you know, personal credit, and does it really play a role in securing small business loans? And as we have been talking, we have identified that it does, because these lenders and banks are going to be looking just for personal guarantees. And depending on whether you're starting a business or you've been in a business for a minute, will determine some of the criteria that they'll look at and how comfortable they'll be with moving forward with you. So I know we uncovered a lot of things that tonight regarding this, but I don't want to leave you without giving you some tips on what you can do. Let's just say that you're one of the ones that find yourself being financially unstable. You're like, Coach E, look, I'm always robbing Peter to pay Paul. Every time you look out, I'm running for a new opportunity to look like it's going to make me some money, because I need to get that next lick. I gotta have cash flow. Like, I have so much debt, Coach. My goodness, I just don't know what I'm gonna do unless, you know, I keep doing this. In other words, you're living in a place of survival, and everything is kind of up and down for you. We're gonna start there tonight. The first thing I want you to do is forgive yourself. And I'm saying this in advance because for some of you, you're going to say, well, I understand how that applies. When you begin to unwrap why you are living the way you're living financially, you're going to get angry. And then a lot of times people get angry with themselves. Because here's the first thing, I knew better. Well, I should have known better. Man, I done messed up a whole lot. These are common conversations that one has once they come into the light, they start coming into the light of understanding. So I want you to forgive yourself. Because some things we just are not taught. We are taught that financial literacy is learning how to just keep a good credit score, pay your bills, and balance a checkbook. Financial literacy is so much more than that. It is so much more than that. You know, oftentimes we think that abundance is about having a whole bunch of money. Abundance is so much more than that. Christ did not say that I came to give you life and give it more abundantly, to mean that he came to give it to you with a bunch of money. No, he wants you to have everything that you need. But what he's mostly speaking about is a life inside of him. So I always tell people that to be rich, I look at it as being an anointing, because there's going to be specific challenges that you're going to deal with in order to become quote unquote rich, okay, that the average person is not going to deal with. And so that's why God did not grace all of us to be rich, because all of us can't handle the challenges that come with being rich. Let's be honest with ourselves. That's number one. Number two. So we're going to forgive ourselves. What we're going to start doing is looking at everything that we spend. I want you to pull out your bank statements. If you keep receipts, I want you to pull out your receipts. And I want you to start looking at how are you spending your money. One of the biggest places that people spend a lot of money in is food. The convenience of eating out. Let me tell you. No shade to DoorDash and all of these other companies out here, but honey, they have made it very convenient for us not to want to cook. They have made it very convenient for us to open up their app and start ordering food. And that's how we spend, a lot of us spend a lot of our money because we're no longer cooking. We're doing a lot of ordering. And so there's no leftovers, and we're paying more to eat out than we are to prepare at home. And some of us are eating out not just once a day, but 2 and 3 times a day. So I would definitely look and see, where's my money going? Because I'm going to have to start reallocating my money. That's my second step. Reallocate your money. So if you're spending a lot of it on food, eating out, you know, if your eating out bill at the end of the month is, and I'm telling you, I've seen some bills higher than this, $500 and $600 a month. Let's reallocate that. Let's share how we can cut away. I don't like saying budget because it has such a stigma with it. I like using the word spending plan. So we're going to learn to spend, we're going to create a plan to spend our money, and we're just not going to spend as much eating out. I don't want you to feel like you have to take away something totally, right? But I want you to better manage how you're spending your money when it comes to eating out. Let's say that eating out isn't a problem. Maybe shopping for clothes and shoes, maybe you spend more money on that. Whether you eat bread and water every day, you don't care. As long as you look good, your hair out, your nails out, your teeth together, and you got on a new outfit with banging shoes, you good. Then we need to start thinking about what can we do to reallocate some of that money as well. And the reason why we're reallocating, because we need to be able to put some money to the side to start paying off debt and to start building personal reserves. So allocating is very important so we can start pulling that money and putting it in other places. That's number two, allocate your money. Number three, I want you to start looking around your home. We all have stuff that we can go to the yard, go and have a yard sale. We can go to consignment shops and sell. We can even go to flea markets and sell stuff. And Facebook has made it so easy to go to Facebook Marketplace to sell stuff. You have Craigslist. You have eBay. You have all of these places that you can go. Take great pictures of the things and begin to liquidate some of your items. That money that you're getting from liquidation is going to allow you to be able to either A, pay off debt, or B, be able to build some reserves, some personal reserves. You've got to do this. Look, I keep saying personal reserves because I need you to understand that that's just as important as getting your credit together. And the reason being is that we understand life is always going to be life, and life is always going to happen, and there's always going to be something that's going to show up when we least expect it. And if we have nothing put aside, we have nothing to pull from, and all we're going to do is repeat the same cycle. We don't want to keep repeating the same cycles anymore. So in order to stop cycle repeating, we got to do some new things. So number one, forgive yourself. Two, reallocate your funds. Number three, start liquidating things that you don't need or you have too much of. Start doing that. Number four, let's cut back on some things. You know, maybe you have cable internet, you pay for a whole bunch of apps. whatever it is that you can cut back on and you still feel like you have quality life, we need to start pulling some of that back so that we cannot live on 100 to 120 to 130% of our income. We want to start living on 60 to 70%. 60 to 70%. If you're living on more than that, then you are living on too much of your income. You're not giving yourself a grace to be able to really build wealth in your life. And here's the other thing. I want you to understand that wealth building does not happen overnight. That's why a lot of people that win the lottery go broke, because wealth is something that takes time. Building a business and your business taking off, it takes time. So I know a lot, there's a lot of myths. That's just not true. If you do this business, you're going to put in some hard work. Remember, your business is an investment, and it's also for some of you the work. So there's two dynamics going on. I don't want you to be confused by that. So here's the thing. You have to know that in order to grow your business and for it to be worth, you know, millions and billions of dollars, that there's a process that you're going to go through. And it's, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and your business is going to be worth $100 billion or $100 million or 1 point whatever million. It takes time. You're going to have to build it. You might wake up and have the biggest client you ever had, but then that money can only go but so far, and you still got to cover expenses if you're going to keep that business going. So I want you to understand that wealth is not something that just happens. It's something that is planned, and it's something that you work towards. I hope that everyone has gotten something from tonight's show. And if you have any questions for me, please do not hesitate to email coachtalksshow@gmail.com. Please make sure you like and follow Coach Talk Show on Facebook. Like and follow Harp Sound Media and Entertainment, because we're always putting out new shows. So we have some new shows getting ready to come up outside of Coach Talk that I think you all will be interested in. So definitely like and follow Coach Talk, as well as Harp Sound Media and Entertainment. Our website is www.harpsoundmediallc.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. And look, this is Coach E. I am so excited that you joined us tonight, and I pray that each one of you all will explode your businesses and take a new path and address your current belief system, that you may be able to build wealth, not just for your current, for you and this generation, but for every generation that comes behind you. I pray blessings and peace upon each one of you. Good night.
Attention small business owners, boost your brand with me, Coach E, with radio advertising. Reach a wider audience and skyrocket your sales. Affordable packages are tailored just for you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to elevate your business. Contact me, Coach E, today at 410-845-1384 and let your business success story unfold on the airwaves. Your success, our priority. Coach E's Radio Ad Space, where businesses thrive.
I'm Joanna Highskill, President of Justice and Change for Victims of Nursing Facilities.
And I'm Tracy Pompey, Vice President. Nursing facility abuse and neglect is a tragic and common issue. Residents do not get proper care and suffer because of it.
If you think a loved one might be suffering from abuse and neglect, you have options. Call us at 804-839-1833 or 804-252-7973 or email jc4nfvictims@gmail.com.
This is Coach E on Coach Talk, a HME production.